I'm Haley Haymore, the host of Purposefully Living Podcast, where I invite people who have shaped my life through godly wisdom. They have taught me how to live life on purpose, and I hope through sharing their testimonies here, we can learn how to live extraordinary lives. Welcome back to the Purposefully Living Podcast. We have a special guest today, Mr. Fred McIver. Did I say it right, Fred?
That is correct.
All right. I've only ever called him Mr. Fred. And he has been precious to me for many years now. Gosh, how long has it been? Almost 10 years, maybe?
Almost 10 years.
Yeah. So he was a coach for the opposing team that I grew up playing tennis against in high school. Mm-hmm. And we kind of just had a connection over this whole, really the whole team, Miss Beautiful, the head coach, and Mr. Fred, and all the teammates and everything. And it was our funnest time. We looked forward to being there, and it was honestly just because of you and Miss Beautiful and the dynamic that you guys made, much like Mr. Fry and the dynamic that he created at Union Pines. He in the fellowship and the family, you did the same thing at Southern Lee. And so it was just something that we kind of almost used it as a reunion, and we couldn't wait to see. And then we've just followed each other's life since, and You've meant so much to me and been a precious friend to me, and I have loved you and for so long now, and look up to you and just love to hear what you're going on, and you're precious to other people too. So I just wanted to sit here with you today and kind of hear your story. And I was telling the producer this morning before he got here, he is infectious. His joy and his smile, you can't help but just be happy when you're around him. And so I hope that you can hear that through the podcast today, and just get excitement just hearing his story and his why he does what he does.
Likewise, Mrs. Haley Haymore, you have a very infectious smile.
Well, thank
and
you.
And a very generous and well-liked person. And thank you for acknowledging me in that manner. Yes, my life began, I would say, basically in 1961, the day I decided that I wanted to go and stay with my father's sister, who was an entrepreneur in the town of Sanford, North Carolina. And she was not married and had no children. And I felt like at that particular moment in time, that's the place I should be. And she was a very stern businesswoman. And it was a move that I don't regret, because she is one of the many reasons that I am where I am today, because she taught me the basic values of life.
I love that.
You know.
So what were those basic values, and kind of what, you said your mom got in a car accident, and so that's why you had to go stay with her for a little bit.
Right.
And so none of the other siblings wanted to go with her because she was stern, but you saw an opportunity.
I saw opportunity.
Yes. So what kind of things did she teach you?
Work ethic, being one, being on time, and also, most importantly, you have to work for the things that you want to acquire in life. And don't never look back, and don't blame other people.
I love that. That's awesome. So you eventually came back home, and how did you kind of just carry through with that throughout the rest of your life?
Okay, good. When I went back home, I asked my mom, I said, I think I would like to help her on the weekends in the grocery store packing groceries. And my mom said, okay. And after a couple of weeks, I asked my mom, could I just stay with her? Because we live very close to each other.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, so I said, why not I just stay? And my mom said to me, you have to ask her and your dad, and if that's okay. She said, well, just remember, you can always come home. But I never went back home.
Are you serious?
Yes.
What in the world, Mr. Fred?
Yeah. It was where I was supposed to be.
Oh, my gosh.
It was God's plan for me to be with her. And she was going to teach and mold me into the man I am. And I remember the day I asked her, can I just stay with you? And she said to me, you can, but you got to remember something. If you come and stay with me, you will not like everything I say nor do. But when you leave here, I'm going to mold you into a man that you're going to be very successful in life.
Wow, that gives me chills.
Yeah.
So I'm sure you're still close with your family, your parents, and your siblings and everything. Yeah. When did you kind of start to notice kind of the shift in where you're kind of being who you are and maybe seeing some differences in your maybe siblings or whatever, like you're on a different path.
Right. I noticed that I had more opportunities in life than my siblings had at the time. My aunt was a world traveler. She knew a lot of people. She taught me the business aspect of how you buy produce and how much you have to sell produce for in order to have a return on value. Those are things that you can never learn at the age of 9 that I learned, how you buy a bushel of apples, how you buy collards, and then you go back in and you calculate what you should sell them for in your business to recoup your money. So I just thought that was unique. And the places that I went, D.C., New York, family vacations, my siblings would have never had that opportunity. So I was building knowledge, and I was building knowledge just not in terms of the business, but finances, meeting people that I later on used to help my siblings.
Wow, that is amazing. So kind of trying to, you know, now you're transferring into your young adulthood and deciding what you want to be and meeting your wife. Kind of tell me that story and what you ended up doing.
Yeah, once I graduated from high school, I was a very blessed athlete in many sports. And my intention was to go off to Pembroke and run track. But I soon realized when I went to the Penn Relays in Philadelphia, where the best high school track and field events are held, and from kids from all over the world and as well as the United States, I realized at that moment that running the 110-meter hurdles and as well as the 800, I was slow compared to a lot of those guys up there. So I redirected my career and said, this is not the path I want to take. And I came back home and I transferred to Campbell University, where I went on to get my science degree. And then I met my wonderful wife and I entered into my first really good job as a chemist for Allied Chemical. And from there, I had my first child, which was a boy. And 5 years later, I had a daughter. And that was on purpose so that I could get one in college and one out.
I hear you. That is amazing. Yeah. So you, I love, you know, how just how the Lord works in people's lives. You're starting at just a young boy and you decide, and it makes so much sense to me knowing you now, and you're 71. Looking at this man, you would never guess that. He's a, we'll get into it later, all the things he can do in a day, but he does run circles around me at 25. So, you know, it's looking at you now and knowing who you are, it's amazing because it makes sense to me. That you telling me that you would do that at 9 years old or eight, however old, how old were you in 1961?
Eight years old.
So at 8 years old, that makes perfect sense to me because of the man you are today. But, you know, growing up, that probably didn't make much sense, right?
That is so true.
And so I love that the Lord was already preparing you for who he wanted you to be and the path that you were going to go down. How did the Lord save you and prepare you? You're prepared as, you know, with all these integrity and these characteristics of who you are today and all these amazing attributes for the world and being a great businessman and everything and a husband. But how did the Lord prepare you as your soul and save you?
I realized early in my life, I had a sister. I have 6 sisters, 7 brothers, large family, because my grandparents were farmers. And I realized my sister...
Wait, hold on a second. You have how many siblings?
13.
That makes sense now that you left. Right. That makes, you would have never had any of those opportunities.
That's so true.
Oh my gosh, that's Mr. So Brad. True. That's so crazy.
True. So I was meant to go to come back and help them.
Yes, that is crazy. Yeah. So, okay, continue. Sorry.
So, and in this case here, one of my sisters got in her house caught on fire. And at 4 o'clock in the morning, I just woke up. And on the wall, I turned to my left and I looked at the wall and I could see my sister trying to get to the door to get out of the fire. And I laid back down and my other sister called me around 6 to say she was in a fire. And I went down to Littleton, North Carolina, where she resided with her husband. And when I got there, the fireman had it closed off, but I asked him, could I go in? Because I wanted to see where she was really found, and they told me she was reaching for the door. It was that moment that I realized I had something that was special that I could see, but I didn't want to discuss that with anyone, fear that they may think I'm a Looney Tune, a loco, or whatever.
Yeah.
So I went back, and I talked with my grandmother, who was lived to be 109 years old, and a gracious woman, and a God-given, feared woman. And I told her what happened, and she told me I had the ability to premonish. She had it, I have it. And from there, I realized God had a plan for me, and I was going to follow his plan from there forward, going forward.
That is amazing.
You know?
And what is, so the Lord has made you, you know, tell kind of what your career has allowed you to do to be able to now return and return your investment, like you said. Or what did you say?
Return on investment.
Yes, now for your family.
Right.
So how did he kind of do that, right, where you're able to be successful and have the means to be able to support and help your family?
Okay. Once I graduated from school, I noticed I kept getting really good jobs, and I moved up, and I was in the upper echelon in terms as a chemist, and I ended up working in RTP, my last company being Novartis Vaccine, where I did very well, invested very well, and I have traveled very well. So I realized I had the means to give to them. So I, in turn, hope my nieces graduate from college. I hope my sisters get things that they needed, my brothers. And I knew that was a path when so I put it all together. The day at 8 years old, when I left home, he was putting me on that path to go back and help them what they wasn't going to have.
That is amazing.
I was chosen and did not realize it. And it wasn't because I was the fourth child or my name was Fred. It's because he knew my heart.
Yes.
He knew what I give him, he'll in turn give it back.
I love that. That's amazing.
Yeah.
And it's so true, because that's just so telling of who you are. Anybody who comes encounter with you within a few minutes can tell that's what your heart is. And I love that. And, you know, now let's just talk about the Lord and the goodness that he is in your life and my life, and kind of how we met and how you're now what you're doing. So you've always kind of been able to help and love on other people. And I want to kind of hear your heart behind that as well, and kind of getting into, you know, how you're helping others in the tennis world.
Okay. I always noticed that I was a very talented athlete, sort of above all of that. And when I met you and saw how well you could play, and you played, you had this bundle of energy
such
a good athlete. But I realized for my age, I was still a really good athlete. And I said, the good Lord has been good to me.
Yes.
He's been good to me. I can run a marathon, I cycle, I can do anything I want to do, pickleball, I can do it. And I'm 71 years old. And I always said to myself, he has something for me.
Yes.
So I said, the next thing I want to do, I'm going to retire early. I made that saying. And when I was 12 years old, I went to Southern National Bank in my hometown, and I put $5 in a savings account. And I said to myself, I'm going to be in a position where I can retire between 50 and 55. I retired at 59. And that day, I walked away. I said, I'm going to set up me a mentor program, because I was constantly hearing around my neighborhood, in my community, in my town, in other places, and in my travels, this generation. Well, what's the use of talking about something when you can do something about it? So I decided I want to
do something about it.
You know, so that's when I started my mentor program, and I chose two schools, Lee County, Lee Senior, and Southern Lee. Southern Lee, once I walked over there, I knew this where God wanted me to be.
Yep.
And I walked in there, and I've been doing it. In my 7 years since I've been doing it, I have gotten kids off into major colleges, community colleges, the United States Air Force, and I have never lost one. And that, I know, is my gift. And that is what God wants me to do. And that is my faith. And that's my testimony for my life. I knew that. And it wasn't for me to have or retire, lay back,
and do nothing.
Do nothing.
You're not made for that, Mr. Rich.
I'm not made for that. So I am exactly what the good Lord wanted. But it all started back at 8 years old when I decided to go and stay with my aunt, because that was God's plan all along.
For you to be able to prepare you to be able to help others.
To help others.
I love that.
And I love that.
So in what ways do you help those young men and at the school? I mean, you teach the women's, or you did?
Just
you
still, only men.
Do you do the women's? You did it when I was there, though.
Yeah, I do the women's and boys tennis team.
But then you just mentor the men.
I just mentor the men.
So kind of tell me about the tennis team. Well, how do you share the love of the Lord and the joy that you have without... in a public school like that, without right. necessarily, you know, going and preaching the gospel to them.
Right.
How do you do that?
Every time I have my tennis for girls is in the fall, boys in the spring. When I'm teaching the girls or the boys, I constantly slip in little nibbets. And I tell them various things about God. I tell them various things about their life. One being, I tell them, you need to always... know your self-worth.
I love that.
Know your self-worth. And I said, the person that you may meet in life need to know your self-worth.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, and learn to whatever you want to be in your life, pick the person who can lead you in that direction. And that will always be Christ.
Amen.
Him first. And I said, the rest will fall into place. So I'm constantly doing little things all along.
Just giving them little snippets.
Little nibbits.
Little nibbits.
Right. And that applies to the boys as well.
And I love it. And then what about your mentor program? How do you mentor the guys beyond just the tennis court? I know you give them lessons and things, but how do you really just actively... be that vessel that the Lord has made you to be?
I realized early in life that in this particular era, I should say, I don't want to call it generation. I want to call it the era. So you got your Gen Zs, you got your Zs, you got the beginners like I am, the older people. But this particular era right now, most parents, two parents in a household, both of them are generally working. That mm-hmm. kid is home by themselves or grandma. So mm-hmm. when they get to high school and they play a sport or whatever, they don't necessarily get the full value of sitting down at the table having a conversation with their parents. It is, everything is on the go. So what I do is I fill the void that they don't have in school. Because whenever you are in high school and you don't feel confident, you don't feel like you're matching up. And a perfect example would be if you're in a classroom and the person sitting in front of you made a 98, you sitting behind them, you made a 68, you don't feel good about yourself.
Yeah.
You'll eventually give up. I take that kid and I go in and I set up a plan. My first thing is, where do you want to be in 5 years? And when they tell me, I put them on that path, and that's a plan. That plan, I stay with that plan. I go to their teacher, I call their parents, I let them know who I am and the plan, and I get them there.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely.
So do a lot of them have a plan?
Yes, they do. Each one knows exactly what they want
to be. What they want out of life.
Out of life, and each one is different.
Yeah.
But they're going to talk to someone like me versus going to the school and saying it in the class, because teachers don't know that, because you got 20 to 30 kids in the classroom.
In the classroom.
They don't have time to figure out what this one like or that one like, or she likes or he likes.
I love
that.
But
when they do a one-on-one with me, they can tell me what I like. And a perfect example, and I think this will live with me forever. I had this one kid, he wanted to be an underwater welder. They had him taking calculus. They said he would go to sleep in class. And he would just walk around, and he'd get to class, and he'd take a nap. I put him in my class, a group, and I asked him. He says, I want to be an underwater welder. So I went back. I talked with the teachers. I talked with his parents. I got that kid in the United States Air Force, and that's where he is right now. And he's an underwater welder. He's probably going to make more money than the average person when he come out.
That is amazing, Mr. Fred.
I found his niche.
You found his niche. That is too good.
He was not going to be calculus. He was not going to be an engineer. He just wanted to be an underwater welder.
That is amazing. And you do that over and over again every day with all these people.
Every year, I start, like next week, I begin. at Southern Lee picking my.
How do you pick them?
I have one of the counselors there at the school. She would go over who was failing last year. Whatever juniors were failing last year are probably going to be failing the senior year. We picked a group out of there that needs the most help. She'll have that list for me tomorrow. And I will go over and I'll begin that list and I will stick with them until May 31st when they graduate. They will graduate and walk across and go in their prospective areas. I will not let them go.
I love that.
I will not. That's my gift.
That is amazing, Mr. Fred.
Yeah.
And so I think sometimes, you know, it may be easier to give the little niblets on a tennis court in a situation where it's a little lighthearted,
right,
or whatever. But how do you, in those situations where they may be, home life may be tough, their upbringing may be tough, they may be resistant to hearing about the Lord, when you're in a much more intimate your relationship there where you're trying to really pick these guys up and help them, and how do you kind of share the Lord with them there, and these principles that you learned at such a young age from your aunt, how do you kind of try to put those things in them and instill them? Because a year is not a lot of time. I mean, they're basically grown, so
right. They
already kind of are who they are. So how do you kind of put that in, but make it sure it's a serious way where they know that this is going to prepare you to be the man of God that he's made you to be?
That is a perfect question, Haley, you just asked, because what I have to do.
That's a tough task.
It is, but you know, a lot of people don't realize what you just asked. It's true. God did not make us all alike. So you have to look at each child and take them on an individual basis.
Mm-hmm.
When I get one like that, I take that kid all by myself. I may take him out for dinner. We may meet for lunch on the weekend. And he and I have a private conversation. And one of the things that I'm able to do is tell them about my life so they can see how I come up,
mm-hmm.
and how where God has brought me to. And when I do that, they begin to get the picture.
Yeah.
I let them know, you are different. You're special. God has something. The day you were born, each person was born in this world. You had a gift and he had a purpose for you to do something in life for him. We were not made to be served. We were made to serve.
And when people get that, that's when the shift changes.
That's when this shift changes.
That's when people start to no longer look at self and who, you know, oh, I don't want to be in this class. I don't want to do this. So
right.
My parents are making me do this. No. What can I do for them? How can the Lord use me?
Right. And Miss Haley, not a lot of parents tell their kids that particular part in the Bible.
Yes.
You were made to serve,
yep.
Not to be served.
Served, yes.
They don't tell kids
It's such
that.
A selfish generation.
Right, they
so
don't tell kids that.
Yeah, it's interesting. Man, I love that. That
right.
is just amazing.
Right.
So I want to ask more questions about that, but I want to kind of talk, because it relates so much to what you're doing and how the Lord, again, another way the Lord prepared you to be able to do this mentorship is the fact that you're a freak athlete.
Right. Yeah.
So I want to know about your sports journey and how the Lord has used you for that, because I think I had a guy on here the last podcast, and I've had a few others as well, but that is the way the Lord has gifted them. That is a calling, and I think that the Lord has gifted me in that as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't, we don't mean in the sense of being able to be an athlete where we perform. We're mm-hmm. talking about in the sense that we are an athlete, so the Lord has given that vehicle to be used wherever we are on the court. However, you know, just being the joy that we have, you have your smiling face and you're mm-hmm. being able to move and all that. And so how the Lord has used you for that, because I think sometimes it's interesting maybe talking to people who, you know, might not have that certain way, they're not in athletic world, you know, that's not in the Bible, one of the spiritual gifts. It's not
right.
athleticism, you
right.
know. So I want to know kind of what your take on that is, and then kind of your journey of sports and how mm-hmm. the Lord has used you in that.
In terms of sports or life or business or faith, the good Lord uses each person. And he puts them in a place, whatever your ability that he gave you, he will take that and put you in a place where you can enhance others.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of me as a runner, Whenever I'm running, people always stop me and say, "You run like a gazelle. You're smooth." But then they always say to me, "You're different."
Yes.
"We can tell you're different." And that's when I tell them about Christ.
I love
it. See, the door opens up.
The door opens.
And I go in.
So the door opens because they want to stop you because they're looking at how you move.
Right.
Then they see that you're different because they talk to you for a few seconds.
Exactly.
And then you can tell them about the Lord.
Then I can tell them about the Lord.
I love that so much, Mr. Brent.
See, the door will always open. And one of the things I can say to you that I would certainly like for you to know, how he has used me in terms of sports. I was on my way to Carytown Mall, and I had no reason to go up there because I just rode up there. I went into Carytown Mall, and I looked at a couple of shirts, walked right back out. Then I decided I just want to go by the park that is located right there in Apex. And I said, "I'm going to ride by to see who's playing tennis," because at that time I was fully into tennis. And I was going to stop. And I had on my regular shoes, my little shorts, no intention to play tennis. And when I stopped by there, there was some people out there playing. And I noticed this young, roughly, I would say, 33-year-old white young lady who was out there playing, but she could not hit a backhand. And she could just keep the ball up there. So naturally, as an athlete, I'm going to help. That's what we do.
Yes.
And just like you do, you know. And I went over to her and I spoke to her and I said, "Would you like for me to tell you how to put your left hand over top and bring your thumb down?" I said, "This will make it a lot easier." And she thanked me. And then she turned around and she looked right in my eyes. And Haley, I will never forget this the rest of my life. And I will always tell people this. She looked at me and she says, "You know what?" She says, "I'm glad you came over to speak to me." She says, "I was contemplating on suicide."
Oh, my goodness.
Committing suicide. She says, "My children don't love me. My husband don't pay me no attention. And I just had mastectomy, breast cancer, my breast cancer."
Oh my goodness.
She was going through something. I looked at her and I said, "No." I said, "Your husband don't quite understand. He's trying his best." I said, "But he loves you." I said, "Your children, they need you." Mm. I said, "But more importantly, God needs you."
I'm gonna start crying.
You know, she needs you. I said, you're not gonna do this. I said, "You have a purpose on earth." I said, "And plus you got a testimony." I said, "Don't you talk about this no more."
Oh, man.
I said, "We're going to drop this right now." I said, And when I walked away, and I left and I walked away, I got in my vehicle coming down number one highway. It was like a cloud. I couldn't even tell that it's always my vehicle was just floating.
Oh, my goodness.
The good Lord put me right in that spot.
Exactly. Didn't even go up there for the mall. You went up there for that.
For that.
I mean, you yes.
That's right. That's
amazing.
How I know that he has a purpose for me. And
wow.
I have many things that's happened to me like that. I've been in sports and been places, and I've talked to people, and they look at me, and I'm able to tell them. So he is using me in every area. And the reason that he's really used me, and I want people to understand this part, the good Lord knows your heart.
Yes.
He picked people who going to do his will.
Yes.
And he knows that that's who I am. That's why I was picked that day to go stay with my aunt. That plan was already in motion.
It was already in motion.
The day I was born.
I love that. So, you know, it sounds like you can't escape God's plan.
You
can
cannot.
You might as well get on the train and ride.
Right. My grandma used to say it. She said, "You got your little plan, and God has his." She said, "His always works."
Yes. Amen.
And
I love
true.
That. And let's talk about what the Mr. Fred can do in a day. Tell me about the accomplishments. Most people can't do what you can do.
Right.
I know you don't like to talk about yourself, but tell me about it.
My day consists of I get up in the morning, and during the summer months, I get up in the morning, and I do my little yoga. I got three sets of yoga moves that I do. I do those, the stretching moves. And after that, I eat me a nice breakfast, always consistent of eggs and my little grits. And I love me a little country of what I call turkey bacon, like that, and my glass of milk. And after that, I'll go over to the gym. and I work out for about an hour, and I do exercises from my legs, from my top of my body. I do not do weights. I do resistance bars because I want to be very flexible.
Flexible.
I'm not into powerlifting. I'm only flexible. And I feel like I'm already pretty strong because I'm a country boy.
So yes.
Strength is there. And then that afternoon, I'll spend some time doing some at the school or whatever. And our afternoon, around 6 o'clock, I'll get on my bike. I ride 20 miles.
Don't you stop and do some stuff in sometimes in the park?
Yeah, I come back by the park and I do and I get on the monkey bars and I hang just sort of to get the vertebrae in a straight motion, and then I'll do some ab work, lifting, getting in a curl, what we call the fetus curl, and I do ab work. And then I go home, take the bike home, get in the car, come back, and I run 5 miles.
That is just wild, and Mr. Fred.
I do this Monday through Thursday. I take Friday off, and Saturday morning, I'm either going to ride 30 miles or I'm going to run 10 miles, one or the other. And then I take Sunday off. Or I'm
71 at, years old.
Yeah, yes. And Sunday, I may play me a little pickleball.
Mr. Fred, you don't want me to beat up on you in pickleball, do you?
No, you're pretty good, but I'll play you.
I do want to play with you.
Yeah.
So, I'm amazed. I don't do all that in a day. However, I'm pretty busy and active, but I don't do all that.
But you are pretty active, though, for you. You have not stopped.
Well,
and you're going to be right where I'm at. I can tell you that.
Well, I hope so.
The key to it all, don't ever stop.
Yes. How do you have that discipline and choose to be that in tune and serious about something? Because you know that it's going to benefit you for life. Because sometimes that's, you know, the Lord puts us in situations like that where he's disciplining us or he's choosing to, you know, make something a little bit difficult so we can see the end. Maybe just like you were going to your aunt's. Mm-hmm. That really might not have been the easier choice.
Right.
It wasn't the easier choice, but it prepared you to now who you are. So how do you kind of choose that where it's like, I'm going to do this every day, or whatever discipline you are doing in your life, or how you tell your boys when you mentor them, like, do the hard thing because it's going to lead to this.
Right.
How do you do that?
The one thing that I live by is the principles of the Bible. The Bible, anything you want to know about life, anything you want to know about preparation for your life is in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
It tells you about slothfulness. It tells you about cleanliness. It tells you about preparing your body, how you treat people. It tells you about things you say and do, things you speak. Whatsoever you speak is what you're going to be. You have to speak positive things, not negative things. You have to surround yourself by positive people. And when you see people that you would love to help, but you are unable to help, you can at least say this word, bless them.
Yes, that's good.
So I live by principles of the Bible in everything I do. Whatsoever he gives me, I'm going to use it until he calls me in.
Yes, you know, I love that.
I'm going to give all that. He gave me, every day when I get on that bike, these are the words that I say. Jesus, allow the people who I'm passing to watch out for me and me to watch out for them. And I said, and get me back home safe. I said, but more importantly, thank you for being able to ride.
Yes, that's good. So you look at it as a gift and an opportunity, not as a something, oh, I've got to go do this so I can still be fit. Or you look at it as an opportunity to serve the Lord.
It's an opportunity because he gave you so much.
Yes.
How can you sit there when he gave you so much and deny his word? For his word is true.
Yes, that's
so
good.
If you live by it, you will make it, just like he said it would. One of the two things in life, Haley, two words I should say. I hear people say, and I disagree with them, but I would never tell them that. People say, you got to have faith. I hear that a lot.
Yeah.
I don't particularly like to hear that word without works.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me both of them. because it's in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
You must have works to go with faith. In other words, you must get up and do something.
And do something. I love that.
And then that's when you see where he said on that cup of his message, he says, when you was going and walking along and you didn't know what happened, it was when I was carrying you.
Ah, that's
see,
good.
When you do everything you need to do and you're at the end of the road,
he's going to carry you.
He's going to carry you. He's going to step in.
He's going to get you across that finish line.
Because you first, you tried. And, and the other one that I like to hear people say, I say, they don't understand. They say, won't he do it? You're incorrect. He's already done it.
Preach it, Mr. Fred.
He's already done it.
I love it.
It's what you're going to do.
Yes. So that's, do you look at discipline that way?
Yes,
where it's like
what
does discipline mean to you in those regards?
Discipline means when God says that, I need to get up in the morning and I need to do something.
Yes.
I need to go help someone. One of my last words in my prayer in the morning is, let me say something or do something to enhance someone else's life.
I love that.
I live for, look forward to going to. I'm going to do that today.
Yes.
I'm going to find somebody.
You're doing it right now.
Yeah, I'm going to do that because he gave me that opportunity. So that kind of discipline to me comes easy because he allowed me to do it.
You're shifting your mindset from not that I have to do this, but I get to do this.
I get to do this.
Yes.
It is a pleasure.
Yes,
to be able to do this for the Lord. When I look at how much he's done for me, we can't even compare it to him in terms of what he's done for us.
Yep.
What you can do more than what you're doing.
Yep.
Every day of your life. So for me, when he allows me to get out of my bed and both feet hit the ground, I'm getting ready to roll.
I was about to say, you going.
I'm
going
to roll. I'm rolling.
Where's Mr. Fred? There he is.
Yeah, he gave me an opportunity right there.
Does your wife think you're crazy?
Yeah, she thinks I go all the time. She told me, I think you're going to have a hard time. Whenever you get to a point you can't do nothing, she said, you're going to have a hard time.
Oh, Mr. Fred.
I don't really feel that.
I don't think you're going to get to that point.
I
think about it, and I've got hopefully 50, 60 years ahead of me still, but I'm like,
you'll be still going.
It's going to be hard one day when you can't do anything, right. You know? It's scary.
Yeah, but you'll get that. My grandmother, who I spoke of earlier, that lived to be 109, she never stopped moving.
Yep.
And she died in her bed in her own house. At the age of 95, she was having her daughter drive her around Sanford, picking up ladies who were 62 years old, getting ready to draw their Social Security, and she was helping them fill out their paperwork.
She never quit.
And yeah. I want to be just like her.
You are going to be. You're going to be.
I want to be
just
like
her. You'll be better, probably.
Right. Right.
That's amazing. You're one of those people that when you're in the presence of them, it's time sits still. You know, it's just, it's amazing. And I want to encourage listeners to try to be that person. And I think the only way you can is by being in the Word.
Right.
And allowing God to use you the way you have.
Right.
And so I just want to kind of hear your heart on the joy that you have and your personality and how you are always, no matter what life throws at you or what you go through or whatever it is, that you're always the same person.
Right.
How do you do that?
Right. That's a great question. I am a happy man.
You are.
His shirt
is yellow. Yeah, he looks like a smiley face.
Yeah, I'm a happy man. The way I look at life is, he's been good to me. He has a purpose for me. But more importantly, those that sometimes they have a little negativism about themselves, I would say to you, follow God's plan. Once you follow his plan, I don't care what's going on in your life. I don't care what's happening. He'll just ease it right on down the road, and you just keep on going.
I love it.
It's none. It's just follow his plan. I follow his plan.
Yes.
And he says, I am what I'm supposed to be, and I am who I am.
Yes.
And I love him, and he knows I love him. And nobody else has to know that. He knows. He knows when you love him.
Yes.
You know?
I love that.
You know?
I think that with your mentorship and everything, and how, you know, all the work you do there and everything, and, you know, talking about you living for God on purpose, and even at 71 years old, you got a purpose and a plan. He still has you here, and like you said, when your feet hit the floor, it's another day that you get to serve in that purpose. So, you know, what would be your encouragement to young people, or really anyone at any stage in life who may be stuck in that, where how do you find your purpose? How do you find your plan? You know, what do you tell your mentorship people, your mentors? How do you call them? Mentorship.
Right.
How do you tell those people to find, how do you help them find their purpose, and how would you encourage others to find their purpose?
Always figure out what you want to be in life. And we all know what we want to be in life and what we want to achieve. Find someone that you see, and they're there right in front of you sometime, that are doing exactly what you want to be. They are being what you want to be in life, and they have all of this knowledge. Walk over to them and have a conversation with them.
Mm-hmm.
Seek those that where you want to be. And I guarantee when you get through talking to them, they will put you on that path where you want to be. And when you, and one of them, it's always going to be faith first.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, find exactly who you was made to be. Again, always go and be with the people that you have a desire to be better. If you want a nice house, and you see a gentleman and his wife's got a nice house, go to them and ask them how they accomplished that.
Mm-hmm.
You see an artist and he's good at art, ask him how did he go about that. You see a musician, ask them. They will tell you in life.
I like that.
God puts everything on earth that you need. That's what I mean when I say people who say, won't he do it? I say, he's already done it. He has left everything on earth for you to do and have. From food to people to knowledge. There's somebody that has knowledge right outside this door right now. And when you're walking past them, that can help you and you don't even realize it.
Yeah, that's good. I love it. Any other God themes in your life that you feel like the Lord has showed you, other than, you know, just to show his goodness and his grace of who he is?
Be patient.
Mm.
Wait on him.
Mm.
Sometimes we have a tendency to want it right now. It's not working. Even in your employment years, there will be times the job you really want, it's not happening. You don't seem like you can get there. You put in for it. You know you're qualified for it. It's just not happening. Think back. That's not the one he got for you. He got one greater for you.
Yes.
Step back and watch that door open and prepare yourself and walk in. Be you. Be happy. And help somebody along the way.
I love it. Well, you, every time I ever talk to you or ever come in contact with you, you encourage me and support me and my journey. And I just want to thank you so much. And it is an honor in the most sincere way I can say it to know you.
Right.
And I just, I'm blessed to know you on earth. And to, you know, you're one of those people in heaven where you're going to be like, we're going to rejoice.
We're going to be
just running laps.
That's right.
Around the kingdom.
Right.
And with each other and just being joyful. And you're just like an angel. You're just one of those people who's just, man, you just can't get enough of.
Right.
And I'm thankful to the Lord that he put you in my path and told you this. And whenever I was kind of coming up with this podcast, and this has been a big dream of mine and wanting to do, you're at the top of the list, because I just wanted you. Have the whole point of this podcast was I wanted to hear stories of the people who have changed my life, and you're one of those people. So thank you. And I love you, Mr. Fred. And I know that all those people that you've helped along the way love you too. And you're amazing.
Right.
So thank you.
Thank you as well. And thank you for having me, and wish you nothing but the best.
Well, thank you, Mr. Fred.
Mm-hmm.
All right. This is such a great podcast. Such a great story. Such a great man. I pray that it encourages you to go out and help others the way he has and does every single day. And to just allow the Lord to use you in whatever area it is, whether it's sports, whether it's the business world. He was a chemist. You know, whatever it is, it doesn't always have to be direct ministry, but he will use you if you are a person that just wants to be used. And so I thank you again, Mr. Fred, and thank you for the podcast. See you on the next episode.
All right.